Hello. This is a podcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Galloping Mooses. No. Gaffer taping my uncle. No. Guinea pigs messy. No. Gossip mongers. Yes. Gossip mongers. Yes. Yes. That's it. Gossip mongers. Welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
This is from Ant. Many years ago, when I was a teenager, my mate came into school to tell us he had spunked into a bath his mum had left running while she was downstairs making a cuppa. So when he told us this at school, we thought we should let him know that he can still get someone pregnant via spunking in a bath. Obviously, he didn't believe us, but we did a pretty convincing job to try and make him think otherwise. So moving along a month later, our friend came into school one day looking extremely distraught. We soon managed to get out of him what was the cause of his worries, and oh boy, we were soon to be just as horrified as he was. His mum was pregnant. It wasn't long after he told us this news that he stopped turning up to school, and we learned from the teachers that him and his mum had moved away from the town. None of us from school ever heard from our friend again, which was pretty bizarre. I can only assume he ended up fathering his brother's son with his mum. There's a lesson to be learnt here. Don't spunk in your mum's bath. Thank you.
Yeah, I think we've saved thousands of unwanted pregnancies.
God, imagine if they are bringing them up. No, it wouldn't happen, would it?
No, it wouldn't, David. I really felt like I was going to have to give you a really basic biology lesson then.
But he would have brought it up. She would have said, no. Didn't work like that.
But I don't know if he would have brought it up.
No.
Ejaculate. 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 Ejaculate into your own mother's warm bath. Into your own mother's warm bath. Ejaculate. Into your own mother's warm bath. Ejaculate.
Ejaculate.
Gossip number two.
Who's this from? This is from Stuart. My tale is from my teenage years in the early 90s in Nam, Dagenham. Myself and a group of four lads used to look for new ways to kill our time during these adolescent evenings after school. We got up to many famous five-star escapades over the years, including knockdown ginger, licking from shops and sticking firecrackers in dog shit. But one evening that will live with me forever was when one of the lads, we should call him Jason, came up with the idea of going round the back of his old granny's flats with a pack of digestive biscuits, and this sounded like a nice treat for us all that fateful night. Is he just going to describe the... Once hidden out of sight by the big grassy hill over the back of the granny flats, Jason hit us with the idea. We would all stand round and wank over the digestive biscuits. This is just that, isn't it?
Well, I presume so, unless there's a big twist.
We'd all wank over digestive biscuits. Right. Whilst Jason... Once hidden out of sight Behind the grassy hill, over the back of the granny flats, Jason hit us with it. We would all stand round, wank over one of the digestive biscuits, while Jason held out the biscuit in his left hand, and the last one to get on the biscuit would eat it. Those words should have been enough to make the rest of us leg it, but we all liked to challenge, and I personally was quite confident that the savoury ice biscuit would not be mine. This is just... As we all stood there, all desperately trying to knock one out, whilst troubled with the thought of being caught by someone's nan, and all awkwardly trying to avoid eye contact with each other, thus causing the inevitable delay arriving, it became...
Like how you keep saying, this is just boys wanking on a bloody biscuit. Isn't it?
Yeah, not just. I don't mean as in we've all done it. I mean, it became evident...
I've got quite a good image at the moment.
It became evident this would take a while, as our usual wanks were over Paula Abdul pictures, not under a streetlight standing next to your mates looking at a biscuit in his grubby hand.
Oh, God.
Anyway, long story short, Jason did not envision the amount of jizz five young lads would produce. And thus said jizzes ended up all over his hand. and his naff-naff shell suit. and completely missed the biscuit.
Oh, it's so horrible. So horrible.
He's
under a street light. All I'm seeing is like footage of them doing it in silence. Oh.
For some reason, I'm imagining five quite big geezers, because they're from Dagenham. Like West Ham fans, all in their West Ham T-shirts.
God, it's horrible.
We never spoke of it again and soon parted in friendship. I personally cannot bear to look at digestives in that day. Oh. And I don't know where those lads are now, nor what happened to the pack of biscuits from that night.
Oh, God. Well, all I'll say is that was great, but don't get any ideas and send any more of that shit in.
Yeah. Once in a very blue moon, you can kick our legs away like that. I'm really hot.
Oh,
my
God.
My hernia scar hurts for some reason.
Jizz, 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 jizz.
On the biscuits.
Jizz, 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 jizz.
With all of your mates.
Jizz, 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 jizz. Jizz.
Under the streetlight.
Jizz. Jizz.
Oops. Missed the biscuit.
Afternoon, mongers. One of my friends has long been known as Chicken. We can't really remember why, but there are claims it's because he always had the chicken at school dinners. Once inseparable, the cruel thrashing of time gradually took its toll on our group of friends, and we all grew up, got married, and started families. Chicken was the final holdout, avoiding marriage and kids until the last possible minute. Eventually, even he was wed. Not long after the wedding, we were all told the wonderful news. There was a little chicklet on the way. With this revelation, there was a real somber feeling in the group. The last of us was married off and soon to be the proudest rooster in the henhouse. It really was the end of an era. We decided to celebrate with one last big night to send Chicken off into fatherhood the right way. We all met at the local on the Friday night. We always started the night here, as one of our friends still worked part-time behind the bar while trying to make it as a musician.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at that.
Well, I think Eads meant for us to laugh. Make it.
Oh, he put it like that. Fair
yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Few people brought chicken cards to congratulate him on the baby. However, our friend Matty had turned up with a suspiciously large package wrapped in new baby paper. After dropping it down on Chicken's lap, we all crowded around to see what the thoughtful gift would be. Inside the wrapping was a shoebox, and inside the shoebox was an extra large raw chicken, which had been lovingly dressed in a fuchsia baby grow. After several pints, we were ready to move on to a bar, but the logistical realities of having a raw chicken on a night out was starting to set in. It was unlikely that we were going to get into a bar with uncooked poultry in a shoebox. We were all fairly far gone by this point, and the brainstorm of how to get rid of the bird was not coming up fruitful. Finally, an extremely drunk chicken decided that there was definitely a bin in the toilet and he would simply put the package in there and be done with it, and off he went to the bog. He returned without the package and with a huge grin on his face, giving us the double thumbs up for the entire walk back across the pub. It's been dealt with, we were assured. After pressing Chicken for more info, he finally relented in the taxi on the way to the bar. Apparently, the box wouldn't fit into the bin in one piece, so he'd crushed it up and managed to get it in. This, however, still left him with an entire raw chicken to dispose of. Panicking, Chicken had removed the top of the toilet cistern, pushed the carcass inside.
In the cistern at the back of the loo?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Just take it with you, frighten a bin on the way to the pub.
It's difficult to accurately explain the reaction to this elicited in the car. Hilarity, shock and panic hitting each of us in random and staggered patterns. The rest of the night went off with much drama, and before long we're all back to the normal grind. About a week or so later, I got a call from my friend who works in the pub. He's panicking. He's just been in for his first shift since the big night, and evidently the cistern of the pub toilet is a suboptimal storage solution for fresh meat. To put it mildly, the entire pub absolutely fucking reeks. The manager of the pub has had the cleaners top and bottom the entire place over the last few days, but the smell has only gotten worse. Out of desperation, the owner has paid for a specialist team of drain cleaners to come in and flush the entire plumbing system. Watching from behind the bar, our friend sees the crew arrive and begin working on the other women's toilets. By this time, things have gone on far too long to come clean, as he was worried he would lose his job or be liable to cover the cleaning costs. After some time, the crew finish in the ladies and move into the gents. Approximately 10 minutes into the clean, there is an ear-splitting scream from the lav and two women come running out shouting, oh my God, there's a dead baby in the toilet. Called the police.
Oh, they kept the clothes on it.
In a future baby grow.
Yeah.
There's a dead baby in the cistern. Crushed into the system.
Oh, they left that bit of info out, didn't they?
Oh.
Yeah,
so our friend managed to intercept the manager just in time to fess up and stop the police actually being called. He was made to remove the half-decomposed remains of the chicken and baby grow himself, which he admits did look a canny bit like a dead band, like. Can you do Newcastle accent? Did look a canny bit like a dead band,
a
like.
Canny look like a wee bear. No.
Or whatever it is.
Ram it in the system. Ram it in the system. Chicken in the system. Dressed like a baby. Smelly toilets. Smelly, smelly ram toilets. It in the system. Chicken in the system. Ram it in the system. Chicken in the system. Chicken in the system, dressed like a baby. Gossip number 4.
This is from Joe W. Hi guys, I'm a big fan of the podcast, and what follows is a peculiar tale of a young boy at a primary school in rural Hampshire. One morning, Ant Boy, a term even used by the dinner ladies, would seemingly manage to ask a question related to ants in the morning lessons. No one quite knew why this was until one fateful lunchtime on the school field. At the back of the field, there was a small wooded area where the cool kids hung out. But one lunchtime, when all the cool kids were at a school trip to a prison, strange faint gargling noises could be heard from within the wooded area. Me and my chums went to investigate. From behind a large oak tree, we could see Ant Boy's legs and torso sticking out. He appeared to be lying on the wood floor with only his head hidden behind the tree. The first thought was that he was dead, but I reminded my friends of the odd gurgling sound was still rather persistent. Keeping well back, we walked to the other side of the tree. Ant Boy, with his eyes wide open, had his gaping mouth at 90 degrees to the tree. Before we could ask what the fuck he was doing, my mates noticed a line of ants travelling down the trunk of the tree. Yes, you guessed it. Ant Boy was gurgling a line of ants. Obviously, marching.
What, marching into his mouth?
Obviously, marching into Ant Boy's mouth. What a great mental picture. Ant Boy then shot up after noticing our present, clamped his mouth shut and ran off as fast as his little ant legs could carry him. I have not heard anything of Ant Boy since, but I still wonder on a daily basis whether Ant Man consumed the ants or befriended them. Cheers. What are we meant to do with that?
No, I like that.
I know, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. He was lying on his side with his mouth open, wasn't he, basically?
So weird.
Just really relaxed. They knew what was coming.
Little boy at the end of the field, secretly lying behind a big oak tree, with his mouth as wide as it can go, waiting for those goddamn ants. Here they come. Waiting for those goddamn ants. Here they come. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. March, march, go the ants. Right onto his tongue. And down his throat. Right onto his tongue. And down his throat. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ant Boy. 2. Mental. Ant Boy. Mental. Yeah? 1, 2, 3, 4. Ant Boy. Mental. Ant Boy. Mental. Yeah? Mental, yeah? Gossip number 5.
Afternoon, gossip mongers. I have a tale of misery and spunk for you. Now, as anyone who grew up in such surroundings knows, there was nowhere more fucked up and disturbing for a teenager to live than an English village. And the worst of these can be found in Kent. Joe will understand.
Did you say that?
My tiny home village was a circus of inbred ne'er-do-wells, curtain twitchers and Tory tongue clickers. It was the kind of place where you'd wave a good morning to your neighbour out on the street and they'd wave back with a foot. And they'd wave back with a foot that was growing out of their forehead whilst reading the Daily Mail. Then they'd turn round and bum their sister. Needless to say, things were shit. Really shit for a teenager trying to figure out his place in the world. On top of all the mutants dragging their carcasses about outside.
Is this your youth?
Yeah, my home county. To be honest, at no point have I gone, you're out of order, mate. I think he's an old neighbour of mine.
On top of all the mutants dragging their carcasses about outside, things weren't much better inside our home either. I come from a family of oversharers with no sense of privacy or boundaries. So clear. So much clarity. There were no locks on any of the doors in our house, and try as I might, it was impossible to wank without getting caught. Fast forward to a hot, frustrated July day when I was 15, and I stumbled upon the burned-out shell of a small cottage that had been ravaged by a fire on the outskirts of the village. I'm presuming that's the wank house.
The burnt out wank house.
I'd never.
What can we use this burnt out cottage for?
I'd never even known there had once been a cottage this far out on the country lanes before, and curiosity got the better of me. Dumping my bike in the overgrown bushes, I crept inside the wreckage and explored the empty and blackened rooms. Needless to say, I lasted about 2 minutes in that place before my trousers were around my ankles. He really did investigate, didn't he? Spent 100 seconds investigating.
This is safe for a wank.
Took his trousers off.
Really quickly. Didn't even glance behind him.
Absolute desperate for privacy.
First time on his own in a week.
Needless to say, I lasted about 2 minutes in that place before my trousers were around my ankles and I was knuckle shuffling one out right in the middle of what would have been the kitchen. Someone's house been destroyed by fire.
I was just thinking, like, the corner's all black and burnt. It's just...
Oh, God. And, oh, boy, was there something about that kitchen. As the weeks rolled by, I visited my new wank house on a daily basis. Oh, dear. I unloaded repeatedly in every room in that cottage. But somehow always ended up back in the charred remains of the kitchen.
Oh, sweetheart.
The heart of the wank cottage.
Is that what you said?
No.
I'm following the heart.
The beating heart of the wank cottage.
The family room.
There was something about standing on the top of a pile of bricks. There were once been one of its collapsed walls that made me feel like a king. As I spaffed in happy privacy. Oh, God. Anyway, the fun inevitably ground to a halt one morning in September. I'd been sneaking off to my wank house for the whole summer and would stood trousers down like usual. Pounding one out in the kitchen. But you can imagine my surprise. Just as I was climaxing, that a loud voice in the hallway suddenly exclaimed, "So, as you can see, it's got great potential for for redevelopment."
Purple bricks have popped round.
Oh, dear. With my sticky knob still in my hands, I dived blindly into the disintegrating remains of what had once been a broom closet or pantry and hid behind the last scraps of the wooden door. As two estate agents and an excited couple of first-time buyers marched around the corner, walking so across good. A carpet of 2 months' worth of my dry spunk. God, it's a weird world. I swear, I thought I was going to have a coronary. My heart was beating so fast. The insane mix of fear, alarm, excitement and horror combined to give me possibly the greatest orgasm of my life. As I huddled into a filthy cupboard corner, it lasted for as long as those unwelcome buggers were wandering around in my wank house and has never been bettered. I thankfully escaped that Kent village, but I often think about the mega orgasm I had that September morning in my wank house. It's not there anymore. Two kids I went to school with married each other, knocked it down, and now live on the site in a brand new bungalow with their three-headed Brexit voting children. There you go. Make of it what you will, and happy wanking. Stephen, God, that was sublime, Stephen. Yeah, well done.
Meet me at the wank house, baby. Meet me at the wank house. Meet me at the wank house, baby. Meet me at the wank house. If you would like to support the podcast and get a chance to listen to the episodes early, watch videos, that kind of thing, come over to patreon.com/gossipmongerspodcast. Thank you. That's patreon.com/gossipmongerspodcast. Thank you. Gossip number 6.
Hello, my name's Hugo from Australia, and this piece of gossip happened in the mid-90s when I was at boarding school. It's an incredible tale.
Is it?
And all true. Now, there was this guy at school called James who, for some reason, had a collection of rocks that he kept by his bed. Yep. They were all different in colour and size, but most were smooth and round in shape. A rumour had it that secretly in the night, while everyone was asleep, James would shove the rocks up his arse. Many people believe this rumour to be true, for in the morning there would often be some rocks missing from his collection, and never the same ones 2 days in a row. Anyway, rumour spread round the school and everyone started talking about James and his love of rocks. Unfortunately for him, this all reached a crescendo when one day in school assembly, the headmaster decided to read out a list of overdue library books, along with the name of the student who borrowed them. About halfway through the list, the principal got to James, and in a booming voice, he read out, "James Gillett, Rock Encyclopedia." Everyone in the entire school pissed themselves and began to revel in the knowledge that James's rock fetish had reached a point where he was not only constantly shoving rocks up his ass, shoving rocks up his ass.
His ass.
But was now also stealing library books on the subject. Everyone pissed themselves. Everyone, except me.
Oh.
For I alone knew the truth. Fortunately for James, it was me who borrowed that library book under his name.
To get a big laugh.
Yeah. And that's not a rock encyclopedia. Now, I should note that in those days, I was a keen guitarist and loved reading about Jimi Hendrix, Guns N' Roses, and all the cool bands at the time. Now, one day I was in the library and discovered what I thought was a really cool book about rock and roll. It was called The Rock Encyclopedia.
So he's an idiot.
Now, as I was not allowed to borrow library books under my name because I had shitloads overdue, I decided to use James's name to borrow the book. Swear to God that I only chose his name completely at random. Never could have foreseen that this book about rock and roll could ever be linked to his sick fetish. So I never felt that bad about it and never told anyone until now. In truth, I did feel a little bit bad about it and considered telling him what happened when we recently became friends on Facebook. But after looking at his Facebook profile, I saw that he is a great bloke with a very good life. He's always supporting worthy causes and has a sought-after job playing violin in Australia's top orchestra. So I didn't bother bringing it up. Shoving rocks up his bum.
Oh, dear. And now he's got a cracking life. Why shouldn't he?
Very good.
Shove rocks right up in my bum. Smooth rocks can make me cum. Shove rocks right up in my bum. Smooth rocks can make me cum. Oh yeah, it's what I really like, boys. It's what I really like, boys. Gossip number 7.
This is from Pete. Dear Gossip Mongers, the following truth was relayed to me at a Halloween party by a trustworthy family member. I was told that my cousin's cousin, Hannah, had recently climbed the first rung of the property ladder. A new build, no less. Oh, I said. Moving day had apparently gone smoothly, with Hannah settling into life in her swanky new build that boasted access to a gym, a concierge, city views, etc. However, it wasn't long before Hannah started to feel profoundly uneasy there. At first, it was just a spooky feeling that someone or something was present in her flat. She tried to shake it off. Pull yourself together, Hannah told herself. There's no such thing as ghosts, especially not in a new build. But the sense that something was profoundly wrong grew and grew. It was then that Hannah realised that some of her possessions had been moving. Sometimes she'd wake up to find her shoes were not quite where she'd left them. Other times she would come home from work to find a whisk, let's say, out of its proper drawer, or perhaps her pillow had changed positions. Could it be? Had she somehow been chosen? She hoped not. Hannah had bought this place precisely to avoid a flat share situation. Hannah's family, friends and colleagues began to notice a change in her behaviour. They were worried. Her wistful look became a thousand-yard stare. She would flinch at the slightest thing. This wasn't the happy-go-lucky Hannah they all knew and loved. Finally, Hannah's dad decided that enough was enough. He'd be damned if some ghoul was going to intimidate his little girl. He'd also spent a pretty penny on the deposit. A practical sort, Hannah's dad installed 2 webcams in the flat. If anything moved when she was out, the camera would be triggered and Hannah would receive a notification on her phone. She could then watch live video from inside her home. I can't wait to find out what this is.
No, yeah.
A week went by and nothing had happened. Hannah began to feel reassured. Living on her own for the first time had been stressful. Perhaps all this had been in her imagination. That is, until her phone buzzed one day while she was in a meeting. Her heart pounding, Hannah unlocked the phone and opened the surveillance app. She was greeted by the sight of her concierge and 2 complete strangers. The 2 men she didn't recognise were having anal sex on her bed, while the naked concierge filmed the proceedings and masturbated liberally. Fucking wow. Hell. It was a sordid scene, to be sure, but not entirely without affection or generosity. Once the encounter had reached its natural and messy conclusion, the concierge tidied the flat diligently. Not everything, however, was put back exactly where Hannah had left it. As it turned out, several of Hannah's neighbours had gone through similar spooky experiences. Misplaced whisks had been found throughout the new build. The concierge is currently serving time at Her Majesty's pleasure. His cellmate is convinced that his possessions are moving of their own accord. Fucking hell. That is so grim.
It really is. Oh, my God. Imagine seeing that. God almighty.
Why? I wonder if he got the thrill of it not being his home. Why would he do that? Or is it just like an empty flat?
Just give him something to do in the day, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but if she might be coming back.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well, yeah, but maybe he's a bit more free-spirited than us. Maybe he's less of a worrier.
Yeah. Why did you say that? Fucking hell.
Joe Wilkinson and David Earl will now choose their favourite rumour.
Okay, so this week's top five are the concierge and the secret anal sex. The smelly chicken in the cistern.
Right, yeah. Yeah, sure.
Ant-Man.
Yeah.
The wank house. And spunking in his mother's bath.
Wow. This is like the Ben Johnson 100-metre final. Like, so much talent. So much talent on display.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So what are you going to go for?
Well, do we say at the same time?
Oh, yeah, okay. After
okay.
three. One, two, three.
Wank house. Simples.
Yeah.
Wank house. It's never in doubt. Even though there's some absolute belters in with it, you cannot compete with a decent wank house.
Right, I'm just going to roll up the wank house and then pop it into the cylindrical tube. And then it goes. Hey, it's going up the tube, round all the bends and all.
Wow.
And then out it comes, and into the knockout stage.
Hey, oh wow, totally deserved, I feel.
Yeah. So all the winners will be in a knockout stage and with a chance to win a cash prize at the end of the series, end of the year, something like that.
Yeah, and we'll do, like we did last year, pull them out of the balls like it's the FA Cup final and amuse ourselves when we should be working.
Yeah, not everyone has Twitter, though, so they don't know what we're talking about.
Everyone has Twitter.
Oh, OK. All right, then. OK, thanks, everyone.
Yeah, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember, if you know of any unsubstantiated rumors, send it in to gossipmongers@yahoo.com. Until the next time, keep your little ears open for all that juicy goss. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye. Love you lots and lots. Bye for now.
Sorry to interrupt the pod. Hope you're enjoying it. But just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do. And you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? For as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes bits and bobs. We post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl.